Fringe has started today. There are performances happening at venues across Northbridge and across the city as a whole. And we're very lucky today to be able to speak to Sharon Burgess, who is the CEO of Artrage, the organisation behind Fringe. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Beck. Thank you for inviting me in.
So, Sharon, you have been CEO of Artrage for what?
Just over 3 years. I arrived in September 2019.
Which is, I mean, excellent timing.
Yes, perfect, perfect. I couldn't have planned it better. I came here and got locked in. And yes, it's, you know, it was my timing was impeccable. But I do feel that I was glad to be here. I was happy to be in a position to be on the ground to perhaps be useful. I always think if nothing else, if I can't do anything else in life, I try and be useful. And perhaps, you know, I was able to be here to kind of keep everything just going during the COVID years. Yeah.
And now we can emerge into 2023.
Absolutely. That's probably
beautiful butterflies.
Completely. We are back and it feels good. That's the strap line this year. And it absolutely does. It feels really good to be back. The other strap line that we had in an earlier campaign this year was welcoming back the world. And that's a really important factor this year, that we are, as a community, our local artists and our interstate and our international are all back together again. And that really drives conversations. It drives networking opportunities. It drives kind of just that kind of strengthening people's craft and getting insight and seeing different work. So it's so exciting to see the world reconnect with Perth again, and we're absolutely thrilled.
Because part of festivals like this, particularly part of fringe festivals like this, is that opportunity not just for audiences to see works from other parts of the world, but also for artists to kind of bounce ideas off each
Absolutely.
Other and learn new ways of doing
yeah.
things.
Collaboration only happens when you're in the room and you're getting excited and you know, you're looking in the whites of somebody else's eyes and saying, oh my God, I see that spark, you know, I get
yeah.
it. And that's where the best collaborations work. I've seen work over the years that have happened through people meeting, and whether it's Melbourne Comedy Festival or Edinburgh Festival, and taking that work, you know, and working together to create new opportunities. So yes, that's why personally I feel it's so important to have engagement with other artists internationally and interstate.
When we think about international and fringe in the same sentences, of course we think of Edinburgh Fringe Festival. What do you think is kind of the heart of fringe festivals? What's
Beck, this is kind of my specialist subject, so so thank you for asking, because there's nothing I like better than talking about fringe and why fringes are important. And you know, I think I always have to take it back to the beginning, and the first festival was obviously in Edinburgh, and that was in, I'm going to say 1947, because I think it was 47, but I stand to be corrected. And it was just after the war and the Second World War, and the powers that be decided that to make people feel better, let's get a festival of the arts that brings together Europe back together again. And that was decided it would be held in Edinburgh. And the reason it was in Edinburgh is because Edinburgh was one of the only cities in the UK that hadn't been significantly damaged by the war, because it had no shipyards, munitions factories, so it was relatively untouched, so it meant it had infrastructure that could support it. So that went, that was decided, that happened, and then two or three people in Edinburgh said, well, we want to come. And they said, well, you can, because this is by invitation only. We're a curated festival of the high arts, and we're going to be inviting composers and orchestras and musicians from all over Europe, but no, you can't come. So they said, oh, well, we'll do it ourselves. And they called themselves the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. So they were on the fringes of the main festival. And that kind of, as a model, really works, because it's supporting arts across all kind of stages, whether it's emerging, established, all the different art forms, you know, high art, opera, ballet, through to, you know, circus, spoken word, stand-up comedy. So it really is. So in most cases, we are on the fringes of other festivals. That's not always the case now, because Fringe has grown to be a beast all on its own, and it is a standalone identity. But the real functioning difference, the absolute point of difference with a Fringe Festival and any other festival is the open access element. So it's not curated. It is, if you can find a venue, if you can find a space, you can participate. So there is nobody, there are no barriers to participation. You absolutely can. The difference with that is there's no, there is less perhaps financial support, less structure, as if you were going to a traditional festival that was curated and that was paying you to come and perform. So that's the fundamental difference. Open access, there's no curation. It is, if you want to and you can, you can. With any other festival, you get invited and it's perhaps there's no risk, whereas in the open access environment, there is definitely some risk. And what we try to do as the festival organisers is ensure we're trying to minimise the risk as much as possible by creating as much publicity and as much excitement and encouraging as many people to buy tickets as possible.
When you talk about risk, I guess in this context that we're talking about right now, we're kind of talking about that financial risk,
yes,
for the performers, for the people who are putting on the show,
and for the venues, and for everyone involved, because there is no there is no kind of big government support. You know, no stand up comic is getting, you know, government money from Australia Council, or if they are, well done.
But there's also, when I think of risk and fringe festivals, I also think of those kind of risky performances, the arts that take risks,
yes,
with
absolutely
what they're doing and what they're saying.
And again, that is the freedom of a festival of this nature. With it being open access, you have absolute control over what you say, what you do. As an artist, you can take it to the edge. And I'm always asked when I do interviews, oh, what's the kind of out there, what's risky? Because that's what audiences are looking for as well. They're looking for the something out of the norm. The idea of a fringe festival that lasts as long as we do and is as affordable as it is, people can see multiple shows. So they will they'll maybe go to see something they know that they like. They've seen the act do a show before, they have a good understanding. And then we encourage them to try, see shows you've never seen, see genres of shows that you would never normally imagine yourself go to. And by keeping the ticket prices affordable, it allows audiences to take those risks, which then in turn supports the artist to be able to feel comfortable enough to take the risk in the performance.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking to Artrage CEO Sharon Burgess about Fringe World 2023. Part of that support of performers and venues and artists involves Artrage and Fringe World as an entity, kind of not just doing advertising but also putting on these events to attract people to the area. So things like a Sunday Fun Day, I guess, is also a way of bringing people into this environment and sharing all of the other events that are happening. Tell me about Sunday Fun Day and what we can expect from that.
So Sunday Fun Day is a big all-encompassing free event which encourages families to come down to James and William Street and the Cultural Centre and experience tasters of what they can expect through the festival. So we're going to have three stages as last year. So we turn the whole street pink, throw down a pink carpet, put pink shiny things everywhere, pink it up, and
just to confirm, we're talking like Barbie pink?
We're talking absolutely a luminous, bright,
amazing,
sparkling pink, yeah. And we have three stages, one at the Francis Street end of William, one at Rose Street and one in James Street. And those three stages will have a rotating selection of acts doing about 10 minutes. And if you like what you see, then you're only 500 yards from the box office and go buy a ticket. Or you can use the box office in your pocket and download the app and buy your tickets right there and then. So what, again, our responsibility is to ensure that the artists have maximum opportunity to sell their tickets. So doing something which is on that Sunday afternoon spot, it's not impacting too many shows. So people, we're not distracting people away from buying tickets to see shows. There are some of the family shows will be running, and hopefully people will be able to get a taster of Sunday Fun Day, go see their show at the State Theatre, or go see their show over at the Rubik's. They have a great children's programme. And it doesn't impact the selling of tickets, because everything we do is about encouraging audiences to engage and support our artists. And Fun Day is a great way of kind of try before you buy, have a little bit of look. But as a standalone event, there will be entertainment for the kids. There'll be the entertainment rolling all day. It's a wonderful event to just really get into the atmosphere of, yeah, Fringe is on, we've started, it's back, it's better, it feels good.
So many things happening as part of Fringe, but also so many opportunities for joy, not least of which is the giant pink carpet covering Roe and Francis Street, or between Roe and Francis Street.
Yes, between Roe and Francis William Street, yeah.
Fringe is, of course, opening tonight. It will run from the 20th of January to the 19th of February. If you want to head down to Sunday Fun Day, you can. It's on this Tuesday. I mean, this Sunday. Obviously, it's on a Sunday because it's Sunday Fun Day. I don't even know where Tuesday came from. From 1 till 6, you can head down to have a bit of a taster of the different shows that are happening. And you can also, you said, in your pocket, we're talking about, there's an app that you can have a look at all the different shows, all these categories, you can say what you like, and then, you know, you can also expand your horizons and pick something that you might not like but might challenge you in some way.
Exactly. Perfect.
Sharon, thank you so much for coming and chatting to us today.
Thank you, Beck. Thank you for having me.